Remember, a Hallmark card when you care enough to send the very best. Tonight from Hollywood, the makers of Hallmark cards bring you a true story from the life of Damon Runyon, starring Gene Fowler and Van Heflin, on the Hallmark Hall of Fame. And here's our distinguished host, Mr. Lionel Barrymore.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Hallmark Hall of Fame. Tonight, a true story from the life of Damon Runyon, reporter, columnist, and one of the greatest short story writers of modern times. And here to tell it, one of Damon Runyon's friends, the author and journalist and reporter, Gene Fowler. And to star in the role of Damon Runyon, Van Heflin. Alfred Damon Runyon was born in 1880 in Manhattan, Kansas. His father, his grandfather, and his great-grandfather were editors and publishers of newspapers. When he was 12, the family moved to Pueblo, Colorado. Runyon was a shy, sensitive boy, and his ambition was to be a newspaper man. One summer, after he'd become a reporter on the Denver Post, he went to nearby El Dorado Springs on an assignment. And it was there that Damon Runyon met Gene Fowler.
I was 13 at the time and plenty impressed. And maybe Runyon was impressed, too, because some years later, after he'd gone east and made his mark, he sent for me and gave me my start on the New York American. Damon Runyon and I were friends for 43 years. But I'm not sure I ever really knew him. It seems to me only his readers knew him. The people who bought his short stories by the millions and paid countless dollars to see the motion pictures that were made of them. But for all his shyness, for all his sensitivity and vanity, the Demon was a man with a heart. Well, we used to call him the Demon, because in his dignified manner, he was anything but. Damon was a man who talked very little, but listened a great deal. And what he heard, he wrote. And what he wrote bore such interesting titles as Guys and Dolls, Blue Plate Special, The Old Doll's House, Little Miss Marker. Remember Shirley Temple in that one? And many, many others. And the locale of these stories? Well, it was always the same. Broadway. Damon Runyon's Broadway, that remarkable stretch of pavement between Columbus Circle and Times Square. And Damon Runyon wrote about it and made it come alive. But the story I want to tell you tonight wasn't written by Runyon. It's a story that actually happened to him, and one that I think tells more about the Demon than any of us who knew him could tell. It began in Hollywood at a party. And to use a cliche, Damon was at the pinnacle of his career. Everybody's happy about a new Runyon picture they've just finished. That's Damon Runyon over there. Blonde man, rimless glasses, medium build. Always dressed like that. Dapper. Loved clothes. I think he must have owned 100 suits, 40 top coats.
When do you think you'll be going back to New York, Damon?
Oh, pretty soon, I guess.
Can't stay away from Broadway very long, can you?
I don't know. You can get used to anything if you try.
Are you used to California?
Well, I've been working on it very hard.
Well, we like you here, Damon. Wish we could get you to stay here all the time. We like you as much as those literary critics in England who say you're as important to American literature as Thackeray and Dickens are to theirs.
Yes, I read that.
Well, now, don't laugh it off. They mean it, and they're right. No one's ever written the way you do. You've given us a new style. The fact that we can make your stories into pictures is even better. I thought it went fine, Damon, just fine.
Yes, so did I.
And so does everybody here. Well, you should be smiling. Anything wrong?
No, no.
You sure? You look tired.
No, I'm all right. I think I'll be running along.
Well, the party's only started.
Well, these are my best working hours.
Okay, Damon. See you tomorrow?
Sure. Sure, I'll see you tomorrow.
This thing happened about 10 years ago during World War II. Runyon had been in the Spanish-American War as a soldier, the First World War as correspondent, so he knew what war was like and he hated it. World War II found him on the home front. One thing he did was give Armed Forces Radio the right to use all of his stories on their broadcasts overseas free. Like most of us in those days, he did his job, wrote his daily column, and worried about things in general. That night, he was worried about a cocker spaniel named Nubbin. Runyon always seemed to have a dog or a cat or a cricket around for a pet, no matter where he happened to be. So this night, he went to see a veterinarian.
What's the matter, Doc?
Well, no wonder your dog doesn't feel too well, Mr. Runyon. Bad tonsils.
Do dogs have tonsils?
Oh, yes.
And sometimes they get infected. I'll have to take them out.
Operate?
Afraid so. Well, there's nothing else to do, okay.
Oh, don't worry, Mr. Runyon. We'll take good care of her.
Doctor?
Yes?
While you've got that little light in your hand, would you mind looking at my throat?
I'm a veterinarian, Mr. Runyon, not an M.D.
Well, my throat's been bothering me lately, too.
All right. Open, please.
Okay. You see anything?
Mr. Runyon, why don't you look up a good throat specialist?
Specialist?
As I say, this is a little out of my line, but if I were you, Mr. Runyon, I'd do that.
I'd do it very soon.
Sounds like a Damon Runyon story, doesn't it? That Runyon should be sent to a doctor by a veterinarian. But let me say this for the record. It wasn't the first time Damon Runyon was warned. The demon was always too busy writing stories, covering sports, turning out his column. Finally, when he returned to New York, he decided to see a specialist.
Well, how do you feel?
Pretty good. A little tired, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Now open wider. Mm-hmm. Okay.
How long does this go on?
We have to look before we can tell you anything. You want to climb up here a moment?
Okay.
Now, open. It's been about 12 years since we took your tonsils out, huh?
Yeah, about 12 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one night I was sitting over in Lundy's with a fellow named Swifty Morgan. And Deep Dish was there, too. We were talking about One-Eyed Conley. And, you know, the gate crasher? Well, as it turned out...
Runyon relaxed in the chair and talked to the doctor. Talked about Broadway and the people he knew and met there. About the years when he'd first come to New York from Denver. He talked about people like Grantland Rice and Jack Dempsey and John McGraw and half a hundred others he'd known who'd made great names.
By the way, doctor, what time is it?
Hmm? Oh, 6:10.
Well, am I finished?
Yeah, for the moment.
Better get out of here. I've got a column to write for tomorrow. Where's my coat?
Over there.
Well, what do you think?
I'd like to be sure, Damon.
Sure of what?
You remember when you had that tonsillectomy? I told you then that you might have trouble with your throat later on. There's some delicate tissues in there, Damon. Not usual at all.
Do I have to buy a gargle?
No. No, but you can stop in at the drugstore downstairs and have this filled.
Okay. Hey, look. Light's coming on.
Monday, 4 o'clock, Damon.
That's a beautiful sight, Broadway.
Damon?
Huh?
I'd like to have you drop in.
Well, okay, if you say so.
Damon, I can't tell about this yet, but I don't want you to be too surprised if I ask you to spend some time in the hospital when I see you Monday.
Hospital? What for?
Observation. This may be serious. Drop in, Damon.
Okay. Good night, Doc.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry, nurse. Good night.
Good night, Mr. Runyon. From the lab, doctor.
Is?
Yes, Mr. Runyon.
Checking on this report you just sent up. Damon Runyon. want to make sure. Bye.
Well, Doctor?
There's no doubt about it. He has cancer.
The story of Damon Runyon. It seems that in all the many experiences he had lived and wrote about, the experience that came toward the end of his life was the one that showed the most of his life. The kind of man he was and the kind of things he did. Gene Fowler can tell you about it.
The brighter side. That's what Damon Runyon called the column he wrote every day. You know why he called it the brighter side? Because most newspaper columns were full of arguments or gossip. Not Damon Runyon's brighter side, no sir. You could pick it up and read it any day of the week. You might laugh, or you might cry, or you might do both. But whatever happened to you, you felt good about it. And that's what he wanted to do, make people feel good. After the doctors told Damon what he was in for, he checked into the Memorial Hospital and kept on writing his column. And there were visitors.
How soon do you think you'll be getting out, Damon?
Oh, not long now.
They have sure missed you around Lindy's. There is hardly no traffic in Gab around there after 3 a.m. without you.
Well, I mostly listen, you know that.
Not with your close friends. You have got the record as being able to stay up and talk longer than any living man.
I guess I'll have to give up the title.
What?
Yeah, I guess I'm going to have to give up gabbing.
But what is that?
I said I think I'll give up talking.
You are leaving the hospital pretty soon, are you not?
Yeah, but I have to be operated on first. This isn't exactly a sore throat I've got.
Damon, what is it?
Oh, maybe I do talk too much at that. Maybe that's why these doctors are going to take out my voice box. Yeah.
Damon?
That's what all the waiting's been about. I'll be glad when it's over and I can get out of here. Maybe then other people can get a word in edgewise. Well, what's the matter with you? I haven't got any kick coming. All over the world today, on every front, youngsters are being shot at. Look at me. I've lived a full life. They've been swell years. I've got no kick coming.
Damon, we are all for you. All of us. When does it happen?
Tomorrow. You'd better get on out of here. I've got a column to write yet tonight.
Sure. Next time, I will bring a few of the boys.
He had his typewriter in the hospital room, the same one that had turned out all those famous stories about Spanish John and Little Isidore and Good Time Charlie and Harry the Horse. And lots of others. It's a fact that once those stories were published, people along Broadway were actually trying to make themselves over into Runyon characters. But I've often wondered how Runyon felt getting his column out in the hospital that night.
Mr. Runyon, what's all this?
Well, you see, I have a column I have to write for my paper.
And the hat?
And, oh, well, that's my hat.
You really don't have to wear it in here.
No, I guess not.
Time for bed now, Mr. Runyon. Tomorrow's a big day.
These are my best working hours.
Bed.
Tell me something. Did you ever try to lay down in bed and go to sleep when you had a column to get out?
I've never had to try to get a column out, Mr. Runyon, but I have tried to talk some sense to patients around here.
Then you'll go far.
Mr. Runyon, the doctor says you must get this rest. It's very important. You need all your strength.
After this operation's over, I'm going to tell that doctor. No, I guess I won't tell him anything. All right, you win. Bed.
That's better. Now, come on.
Nurse.
Huh?
Can you leave the light on?
Well, Mr. Runyon,
I kind of like bright lights.
All right, Mr. Runyon. For a little while. Good night.
Good night.
pretty hard to say what's on a man's mind when he's lying alone in a hospital room facing a thing like that. You can think about it, though, and you can try to guess. Maybe Damon just lay there and thought about all the years and of all the people he'd met in all those years and all the things he'd seen and reported. Football games, political speeches, prize fights, trials. But this night, before the operation there in the hospital, listening to the traffic outside his window, Damon Runyon had an idea for a different sort of story. And in this column he wrote that night, he imagined he had a visitor. A visitor who ordinarily wears black, whose appearance terrifies most people, death. But to Runyon, the visitor came in a white flannel suit, and he said,
Hello.
And the demon imagined himself facing death and replying to him, in Runyonese, naturally.
Oh, hello. Hello, hello, hello. I was not expecting you. I have not looked at the red board lately and did not know that my number was up. If you will hand me my KD and my coat, I will be with you in a jiffy.
Tut, 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 not so fast. I have not come for you. By no means.
You haven't?
No.
Then what are you doing here? And what do you mean by barging in here without even knocking?
Excuse me. I was in your neighborhood and all tired out after my day's work, and I thought I would drop in and sit around with you a while and cut up old scores. But I guess I owe you an apology at that for my entrance.
I should say you do.
Well, you see, I'm so accustomed to entering doors without knocking that I never thought. If you like, I will go outside and knock and not come in until you answer.
Look, you can get out of here and stay out of here, you bum.
There it is again. That same inhospitable note wherever I go. No one wants to chat with me. I'm so terribly lonesome. I thought surely you would like to punch the bag with me a while.
Another thing, what are you doing in that getup? You were supposed to be in black. You were supposed to look somber. Not like a Miami Beach winter tourist.
Why, I got tired of wearing my old working clothes all the time. Besides, I thought these garments would be more cheerful and informal for a social call.
Well, beat it. Just duffy out of here.
You need not fear me.
I do not fear you. But you are a knock to me among my neighbors. Your visit here is sure to get noised about and may cause gossip. You know you are not considered a desirable character by many persons. Although, mind you, I'm not saying anything against you.
Oh, go ahead. Everybody else puts the zing on me, so you might as well, too. But I do not think your neighbors will recognize me in white. Although, come to think of it, I noticed everybody running to their front doors and grabbing in their welcome mats as I went past. But why are you shivering if you do not fear me?
I am shivering because of the clammy chill you brought with you. You lugged the atmosphere of a frigidaire around with you.
You don't tell me. I must correct that. I must take an electric pad with me. Do you think that is why I seem so unpopular wherever I go? Do you think I will ever be a social success?
I am inclined to doubt it. Your personality repels many persons. I do not find it as bad as that of some others I know. But you have undoubtedly developed considerable sales resistance to yourself in various quarters.
Do you think it would do any good if I hired a publicity man? I mean, to conduct a campaign to make me popular?
It might. The publicity men have worked wonders with even worse cases than yours. But see here, Death. I am not going to waste my time giving you advice and permitting you to linger on in my quarters to get me talked about. Kindly do a scramble, will you?
I am so lonesome.
Get?
Everyone is against me. Everyone.
Mr. Runyon.
Hmm?
Aren't you asleep yet?
Uh-uh. Where is he? Where did he go?
No one's here. It's way past visiting hours.
Past visiting hours?
Of course. Here, let me straighten your pillow. There.
I had a visitor.
What?
A fellow in soft white flannels. Death. He dropped in to see me, but he left. I thought he was going to take me with him. I wrote down what he said for my column. It's there in the typewriter.
Good night, Mr. Runyon.
Damon Runyon went into the operating room and came out without his voice. He came out smiling, but the wait had been too long, the illness too severe. The demon knew that night he saw the man in the white flannel suit. He faced death as bravely as any man I ever knew. And he faced it with the same humor that made his short stories known the world over. For the interview with death, you have just heard, was there in Damon Runyon's typewriter. And it was published, and it became perhaps the most famous column he ever wrote. This shy, courageous, little man, who no one really knew, except his readers.
Died of complications following his cancer operation 2 years later. Americans everywhere have honored his memory with the Damon Runyon Memorial Fund, remembering the brightness he brought into their lives with his writing. You know, I saw those dogs last week. My little friend Mary Ann had a set, and I've never seen a child any happier over an unexpected present. A writer by the name of Bray once said, "Never fear spoiling children by making them too happy. Happiness is the atmosphere in which all good affections grow." And he was certainly right. Happiness is not a lack of discipline. It's a making full use of the faculty of imagination. And that's where these Hallmark dolls help. They foster the imagination.
And if my little girls were here, Lionel, they'd certainly agree with you about Hallmark dolls.
Well, Van Heflin, say, that was a wonderful performance you gave as Damon Runyon.
Well, thank you, Lionel. Runyon has always been a favorite author of mine, and I think time will prove those English critics right when they say that Runyon is as important to American literature as Thackeray is to theirs. But speaking of authors, we have another pretty famous one right here. The really wonderful biographer, Gene Fowler.
Never mind my writing, Van. Don't you think I'd make pretty good competition to the Barrymore clan as an actor?
Well, maybe. You stick to writing about the Barrymores. We'll do the acting.
Well, Lionel, certainly write about your writing, Gene. Your biography of John Barrymore, Good Night, Sweet Prince. That was really a wonderful book.
And don't forget Gene's minutes of the last meeting. Yeah, they tell me that's a bestseller. Well, Van and Gene, it's wonderful having you here.
Thank you, Lionel. It was really a pleasure to be on the Hallmark Hall of Fame with you, one of my oldest and, shall we say, dearest friends.
Well.
Lionel, what does Hallmark have for us next week?
Oh, next week we have a distinguished broadcast indeed, as we present an exciting episode from the life of Queen Victoria, as Helen Hayes returns to star in the memorable role she made famous on Broadway as Victoria Regina.
We'll certainly want to hear that one.
Good night, Lionel.
Good night. Good night. Good night. And until next week, then, this is Lionel Barrymore saying good night.